Are you ready to focus for the next few moments on God's Word? Awesome. Let's do it. We're beginning a new series, a mini-series for 3 weeks called In a Galilee Far, Far Away. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside the bulletin is a half-sheet handout with notes to follow along with today's message. There's fill-in-the-blanks. And there'll be answers on the screen that you can follow along. If you did not receive a bulletin, you can raise your hand right now, and somebody will be happy to bring you one so that you can follow along. We've got one up here. There we go. Luke chapter 1. We're going to be reading out of the Message version. So if you're using your Bible app on your phone, you'll go up to the top and change it to MSG so you can follow along word for word. And this is the beginning of the Christmas story, the very beginning. And we're reading Luke chapter 1, reading verses 26 through 30. And it says this: In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. Let's pray. God, you are amazing. We're so thankful that we begin the celebration of you sending your son, Jesus' birth. God, I pray that for the next few moments as we hear about your word, I pray that you would change our hearts and our minds, that we would not leave today the same as when we came in. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. I like Christmas, except for one thing. I don't like decorating Christmas. And I didn't realize this until the first time I left home, went to college, and came back, and all the decorating was done. I'm like, wow, this is kind of nice. And it's become a part of our family that that's a mom and kids thing. And I'm like, it looks good from the road. I mean, right now where I see you. But one thing I do like about Christmas is that we get to give gifts. I like giving gifts. How many of you like giving gifts? It's a fun thing to do, to give, to think about it. And when I think about gifts, I try to think about the person and think about what do they really want. I mean, and actually, when I'm doing this, I usually discover, wow, I haven't been paying attention as much as I should. You know, I haven't been picking up on hints, and I haven't, like, asked, you know, in a way that you can't tell, you know, beforehand. We had a tradition when we lived in Kansas of taking our kids to the Bass Pro Shop. And the Bass Pro Shop every year would allow you to go see Santa and get your picture taken for free. And the reason why we went up to this is not because of Santa, but because they had a station set up where the kids got to write a wish list and then mail it to Santa. And we would hover around them with our phones trying to snap a picture of what they wanted. This year it's been a little harder. We couldn't find a Santa to do that, but we still got their list because we have access to all their text messages that they sent to Grandma and Grandpa. But when you're giving gifts, have you ever noticed that sometimes there's an order to gifts? That if you've come up with something special, especially for your kids, that we got gifts, and the gift. You don't want them opening the gift first, do you? You want to say, let's open this last. There's like an order to how they should be opened. And I think Best Buy is just finally figuring this out because their theme this year is open this one last. And if it comes from Best Buy, it better be a last one. But I remember as a kid, I opened up all our presents on Christmas morning, and I can remember this distinctly because my parents said, well, that's it. Or is it? And we're like, whoa, what was it? What was coming next? And they're like, well, hold on. Dad's got to go out to the shed. And we had to close our eyes, and Dad wheeled out brand new bicycles. And it was the coolest thing. Now, they had tried to wrap it up. And it's hard to wrap a bicycle. and we could tell what it was. And they had to tear it on the bottom because Dad couldn't get all the bicycles and it needed to roll and everything. But we were so excited to finally get bicycles for Christmas, and it was an amazing deal. Gifts are a cool thing, especially when someone has thought about it. And the other day I was at Hobby Lobby with my wife, trying to make her life miserable because I was at Hobby Lobby. So I was pointing out all the cool decorations we should get, you know, the ones that are purple and, you know, yellow and green and weird colors. But I saw something that I've always dreamed of seeing but have never seen in person. And it was one of those great big bows designed to go on cars that are presents for Christmas. And I'm like, there it is! That's it! I was like, it was amazing. But anyways, Christmas, gifts, plans. We're talking today about the plan, and the kids did an amazing job today introducing this topic of the plan. And we started out with them saying it all started in Galilee with God sent Gabriel. And then we heard from the kids who recited from the word from Isaiah. And they said a prediction of this is what it's going to be like. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And then we heard a very creative adaptation of the story about that there was a plan. There was a plan that was happening, a gift that was about to be given that you just know God in heaven was just giddy. He's like, I can't wait for them to open this. It's going to be great. But plans, the purpose of plans is that they're supposed to be set in motion. It's supposed to be set in motion. You just don't come up with plans just to come up with plans. But if you're planning something out, it means you plan on doing something. And this is no different for God himself. You see, we have to understand that if we're not careful and we're reading the whole Bible through, that it could seem like him sending Jesus was kind of a plan B, kind of an afterthought. But if we recognize that God knows everything, then when he set everything up, he knew what was going to happen to Adam and to Eve. That they would make a decision that would cost them everything. That would open the door for sin to be in our lives, for every descendant of Adam and Eve to be born with evil, with hate, without being able to be with God. And God, from the very beginning, released a clue. As he was doling out punishment, he was giving punishment out to the woman and to the man. And then he turned to the snake and he said, you watch out. Because there's going to be a descendant of this woman who's going to kick you in the head. He's going to knock you out. And God was already dropping hints about what was going to happen. Because he already had a plan that was set in motion. You know, we celebrate Christmas time of Jesus coming and his being born. And we like all the little stories and we like the songs and everything. But God had been preparing for a really long time. And apparently, he doesn't like keeping secrets because he allowed people to know through time that here's what's going to happen. We just heard from Isaiah as he shared a prophecy saying this is what it's going to be like. And there's other prophecies of that this person was going to be born in Bethlehem, that the child would be a descendant of David, that the child would be a descendant of Abraham himself. And all these things would happen. If you were to pay attention to reading the Christmas story in the book of Matthew, you would see that he spends the very first chapter reciting a bunch of genealogy and can get really boring really quick, right? But what he's setting up is saying, look at everyone who's in the lineage. There's David, there's Jacob, there's Abraham, going all the way through, all the way to Joseph, to Jesus. Proving and showing that, look at, the prophecy has come true. There has been a plan all along. Plans are made to be set into motion. And God set things in motion when the time was right. He sent his best angel. He sent Gabriel to a little girl, a young woman, in the village of Galilee. And that's where this whole story starts of it actually happening. That it's not, it transitions from being a plan to turning into action. It's being set into motion. But sometimes, when we think about plans, we have plans that haven't yet been set to motion. It's like having hope for something that never happens. Have you ever met somebody who has their thinking has gotten just kind of skewed, saying nothing's ever going to happen because nothing ever happens? And it changes everything about how their outlook on life. And there was many years that took place from when God made the first promise that Jesus was going to come to where God sent and put it into motion. And a lot of people lived their lives with just a hope, saying, someday it's going to come. Proverbs 13:12 says this, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But let me tell you something right now, something you need to know. Someone in this room needs to hear this. And when God makes a plan, he puts it into action. When God gives you a promise, he follows through with it. He's not a human like us. We mess up. We change plans. We change things. But God is not like that. The cool thing is that God knows who and where you are. When he sent Gabriel to Mary, he knew exactly who Mary was. He had Gabriel give a message to Mary to say, you have been highly favored. You've been picked. Congratulations. God likes you. And God knew everything about Mary, where she had been, what she had done, and where she was going and what she was about to do. God knew her whole story. And God had picked her for a special plan. In the same way that God knows Mary, God knows you. He knows you. That you're not a nobody to him. This past Friday, I got to attend a breakfast that was put on by Shelter from the Storm. They had invited people who have given money, had been donors, and I got to represent our church, and we've been longtime sponsors of that ministry here in Sun Prairie, and it's an amazing ministry. And they did it right. They did this whole breakfast buffet, and they had it set up at a really fancy golf course, and they just wanted to honor the people who've been giving and just kind of give an update of what's happening. And as I'm going there, they have a name tag ready for me, and there's all these people who I don't know who they are, and they don't know who I am, and it's obvious because they're like, and who are you? I'm like, I'm Ryan. I'm shaking their hand. And I probably met about 10 people in a short amount of time who, it was like, oh, hi, Ryan, glad you're here today. Here's the breakfast line. Hi, Ryan, glad you're here today. But then Pastor Hope was there. And Pastor Hope said, Pastor, come with me. And she took me back to all these people and said, I want to introduce you to my pastor. This is Pastor Ryan. And in each person we talked to, a light bulb went on. Ding! Oh, the Pastor Ryan. Oh, we've been waiting to meet you. And all of a sudden, they're telling me all these things they've heard about me. And I'm like, oh, great. And in that moment, I went from not being known to being very well known. And sometimes we think and we live our lives thinking that, hey, if I didn't show up, no one would care. We think our lives, does God really care about where I'm at or what I'm doing? Life just happens. And you know what? God cares about every part of your life. He knows your history. He knows what you've done. He knows where you're at right now, and he knows where you're going. He knows the plans that he has for you. And when a plan starts, it's time to put it into action. When Mary had heard the plan, you see, Gabriel, the angel, said, I've got a surprise for you from God. And it wasn't a big present. It was, wow, you're about to have a kid, and everyone's going to think it's illegitimate. And no, just know that this is a God thing, and Joe's going to take care of you. And here's what you're going to name it. Here's what he's going to do. And she could have sat there and said, I'll believe it when I see it. She could have sat there and said, I don't know if this is really what I believe, and I don't know if this really lines up. I don't know if this is really the plan you have for me. But that's not what her response was. Her response was to take it. And she did two things with this message. Two things. She responded first to the messenger and said, I am willing. I'll do whatever you want. And the second thing she did was, the Bible describes, she immediately went off to go see her cousin to start down the journey and start on the path and take an action of what God was asking of her that day. The Bible says in verse 39 that Mary didn't waste a minute. She didn't sit back and wait for all the details, wanting to know, well, what path should I take and what route should I do? This past week, I was very proud of myself because I did something I haven't done yet. I went to the west side of town without my GPS. And went all the way there, went all the way back. And I'm not talking about making it to Grand West Sand Prairie. I'm talking about Middleton, Pittsburgh area. And I was just proud of myself because I just was like, hey, whatever happens, happens. This used to be what it was like. And I think about my son who can't drive without Siri with him in the car. And I'm thinking, you know, that's when you become a local, when you can figure it out yourself. When you don't have to use the GPS. But we can get frozen sometimes. And speaking of my son who's driving, he was the one who was the Jedi Master up here. I think you guys were laughing that he was my son acting like his father. It was really supposed to be a Star Wars joke. You know, Luke Skywalker acting like his father, Darth Vader. But hey, I'll take it. But my son has grown up in an age. He's born since 2000, where everything's automatic, where everything is done for you. And the other day, we were all getting out of my truck, and I had all the kids with me, and we had parked, and we got out of the car, and I had all these kids, and I'm making sure, and when Shalee and I go anywhere, when we take our kids, we have to do head counts. Here's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and do I have everyone? And we're walking towards a store, and I realize I'm missing a kid. And you'd be surprised at which kid I was missing. I was missing the oldest kid, the 16-year-old who's still sitting in the back seat of my truck. And I'm like, come on, Rand, it's time to go. And he's like, unlock the door. I'm like, just pull up the little thing and let yourself out. I still can't comprehend it. Because, you know, the other four children all did that. And he did not. And as much as we laugh at my son, and I do get my kids' permission sometimes to share stories like that. Sometimes. I can imagine that sometimes that's how God looks at us. And we're sitting there. We're like, God, just unlock the door and I'll go. And he's like, just pull up the little lever and do it yourself. God has plans for you. That's what this whole Christmas story is about, a plan that involves all of us, not just a baby being born, but it's a fulfillment to a promise. That was made, that very first promise, that there would be a descendant of Eve who kicked the snake in the head, represented Satan. That there would be a plan that make it possible for us to be in right standing with God again. And when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the plan. When we celebrate Christmas, we're not just celebrating that there was a plan, but a plan went into motion. And all the cogs and the wheels and everything started happening and everything started moving and there was action. And speaking of plants, one of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible, might be yours too, is Jeremiah 29:11. It's God speaking to Jeremiah. It's God speaking to us. And he says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." We talked just a second ago about when we lose hope, hope deferred. It makes us sick. But when our hope is in God, when he says, "I've got plans for you," he's not skipping over you to the next person in your row here. He's talking specifically to you. "I've got a plan. I've got plans," plural, plans for you. And they're good plans. Plans that are going to give you a future. Plans that are going to give you a hope. Plans that are going to change your life. And this is what Christmas is. Plans that were set in motion by God to save you. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads right now. Let's pray. God, we celebrate this first Sunday of December as we take this time of December to celebrate your plan. And not just the fact that you had a plan, but that you put it into motion. That you were fulfilling a promise given thousands of years earlier. That you shared hints and you shared secrets over time. But it all started in motion a long time ago in a Galilee far, far away when you sent your angel Gabriel to visit a young woman by the name of Mary. And God, and we heard today that you have plans for each and every one of us. I mean, we're talking about the plan as being your plan to save us. But even beyond that, you have plans for each and every one of us. Plans to give us a future. Plans to give us hope. Plans to not bring disaster. God, I pray for each and every person here today. We're at different stages when it comes to your plans. There's some who've been trusting you with what you've called them to be, what you've called them to do. And they've been faithful and they've responded just like Mary responded and said, "I'll do it." And then they take action right away. But I also recognize that in this room, there's probably people who God showed them something and they haven't quite taken that first step. God, I pray that you would give us the courage to take the first step, to take action on your plans that you've revealed to us. No matter what it is, no matter what it involves, Lord, let us be able to just grab hold of that promise you made when you said you have plans for us, that they're not plans for disaster, but they're plans for hope and future. God, I pray that this would be a week that several would take that first step towards what you have for them. But God, it's also possible that there's people in this room who don't even know why they're here today. Maybe it was because they were seeing part of a play or someone invited them or they just felt compelled to come. And as they've been sitting and listening, they've just felt something. And I believe that something is you. You see, the whole idea of Christmas, the whole idea of this plan is that God wanted you to be a part of his family. He wanted to make things right. In order to do that, he had to send his son, not just to be born one night in a manger, but he was going to live a perfect life and he was going to help people. He was going to represent you well, but he ultimately came to die for us. And not just to pay the price, but for you to raise up after 3 days as the firstborn of many, making it possible for sin, death, and the grave to be defeated. And because of what Jesus has done, because he fulfilled the plan, it's possible now to accept your gift of being saved. We try so hard in our lives, God, to do it our own way, and we mess up. And today you have a gift that you want people to receive. And that is a relationship with you. So as you are listening to me right now, if today you would like to make a decision and say, Pastor Ryan, I need to get my heart right with God. I need to make him in charge. I need that gift of why Jesus came. I want to make that decision today. Would you just let me know as everyone's heads bowed, eyes are closed. Just slip your hand up. Let me know so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible says what we got to do is just talk to God and say, I'm sorry. I believe. I want you in charge of my life. And so we're going to pray that together, everyone, repeating after me, because here at Focus Church, nobody prays alone. We say, Dear God, I'm sorry. I believe you sent your son to pay the price for me. I want you in charge of my life. I want to be part of your family. I want to do the plans you have for me. Plans to give me a hope and a future. In Jesus' name.